Well, we're concluding the series that we've been in for the past several weeks called Picture Perfect, and where we've been looking at relationships. You know, culture has an image and an idea of what a picture perfect family or relationship needs to be. And it seems nowadays that everybody has an opinion on what it's like to be the perfect parent. Did you know that Amazon has over 10,000 books on parenting that you can read? There are thousands of podcasts, TikToks, opinions out there on parenting goals. And so honestly, sometimes it can be very overwhelming and daunting to be a parent. Someone once said that being a parent is like folding a fitted sheet. No one really knows how to do it. Nobody really knows how to do it. And so honestly, it can be overwhelming. But did you know, and we all understand, that parenting is the most important job and assignment that you will ever have. And so sometimes in those moments, you kind of have to ask yourself, am I doing it right? What should I focus on? There's so many things out there. There's so many opinions. There's so many methods. What should I focus on? But you know, I believe that the Bible and that God has a plan and a design for you as a parent, for you and your child that He's entrusted to you. And so today I want to share with you, how do we parent on purpose? How do we parent on purpose? So I invite you to open up your Westover app, open up your Bible. We're going to be looking at a family in the Bible in Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at Jesus's parents today. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. And while you're turning there, let me kind of set the scene of what's happening in these verses. Joseph and Mary, they live in Nazareth. That is their hometown. But they have traveled to Bethlehem because there was a census that was taking place. And so they go to Bethlehem to be a part of the census. And while they're there, Mary gives birth to baby Jesus. We know the story. And so now we're in the part of the story where she's given birth. They're ready to return back to their hometown of Nazareth. But before they do, according to Jewish custom and culture and tradition, they have to go and present their child to the Lord at the temple. And so that's where we pick up in verse 39 and 40. It says this: when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child, meaning Jesus, grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And so what we see from these verses is we kind of start at the very beginning of Jesus' life, and we see that he grows and he becomes strong. And in this verse, the word strong in the original language, in the original text, is not the idea of physical strength like what we would consider strong. It's actually referring to mental and emotional strength. It's that deep inner resolve and conviction that you have. You know, when you study trees and you look at trees, trees don't get their strength from the leaves and the branches of the tree. Their strength comes from their root system. Their strength comes from the root system that they have. It's the roots that grow and keep the tree strong. And that's the word picture that is here in this verse when it's referring to them being strong. And what I want us to notice is in this verse, in verse 40, there are four things that Jesus did from his childhood to when he became an adult. It says that he grew, he became strong, he was filled with wisdom, and God's grace was on him. He grew, he became strong, he was filled with wisdom, and God's grace was upon him. And any time in the Bible that you notice there's a list or a chronological order where God lists some things out, we need to pay attention to it because there's a reason for it that he's trying to talk to us about. And so in this list of things, the four things that Jesus did, we have to pay attention. He grew, he became strong. He got that deep inner resolve inside of him. He had that root system built deep inside of him. And that was his parents' job. Parents, that is our job. We have to make sure our kids grow strong. And then because he did that, he became strong. He qualified for the last two, where God filled him with wisdom and grace was in his life. You see, when we take care of, and as our job as parents, when we build a strong root system in our children, they qualify for God to give them wisdom and grace in their life. But it's upon us to do the first one. It's upon us to make sure that they get strong roots in their life. But one thing I want us to notice as well in these verses is that those four things that showed up in Jesus's life, they only happened because we have to go back to verse 39. In verse 39, it says that Joseph and Mary did everything required by the law. Everything that was required by the law of the Lord for Jesus. They followed God's plan for Jesus. Do you know that God has a plan for your kids? God has a plan for your kids. God has a plan for how to parent them, to bring them into the fullness of what he purposed for them. And when we do that, when we follow God's plan, then we'll be able to see those things show up in their life. We're supposed to invite God into those moments. Invite him into your parenting conversations and into your decisions every single day. God invites us to bring him into that because it is our job to make sure that our kids grow strong. And so today, for just a few moments, I want to share with you the two things that we have to do as parents to make sure our kids grow strong. Our kids need roots and wings. It is our job to make sure that they build roots and wings. And so today, they need to build roots. It's our job as parents to make sure that our kids have a deep-rooted faith in God. That they're deeply rooted, they have that inner conviction in them. That's how they're gonna be strong. You know that trees, they have a root system. That's the system that makes sure that the tree grows. It's the roots that make sure that the tree goes from a seed to a tree and that it grows up and that it's strong. But also the root system is there to make sure that when systems and when elements in the weather and the storms come in life, it doesn't sway and it doesn't topple that tree over. The deeper the roots, the stronger the tree. And the same thing is in our life and in with our kids. The deeper the roots that we create in their life, the stronger they're gonna be. So that when they grow up and they walk out into the world, culture doesn't push up against their faith. That things don't mess with them when tough seasons come because they're deeply rooted in the faith that God has for them. It's our job to develop those roots. And we help our kids grow roots through responsibilities and privileges. Responsibilities and privileges. These two items, they're the guardrails for their lives. And our kids need both. Our kids need both. There are privileges that they get in every stage of life. We give privileges as they grow and as they mature. But what we have to understand and make sure that with every privilege there's given, there is a responsibility they have to steward with that. Every privilege we provide, they need to understand that every decision, there is a responsibility that they hold with that privilege. My son, Aiden, in just a few weeks is going to be getting his driver's permit. Lord, pray for us. Pray for the Musset household. My mama's heart is not ready for this. I don't think San Antonio is ready for this. He's about to be on the road. And so with him being able to be on the road and that he's going to have a permit, he's going to have the privilege that when he gets behind the car, he controls the car. He's going to have the privilege to decide where that car goes and where it goes on the road. He's going to have the decision to decide when I want to go from point A to point B, how do I get there? But with that privilege, he has the responsibility that when he gets behind the wheel, he has to follow the rules of the road. When he gets behind the wheel, he has the responsibility for the safety of everybody in that vehicle. And we get that as parents. We understand that. In the same way, we need to make sure that in every stage of life, we have privileges and responsibilities. And for a moment, can I just talk to all of the millennial parents, my generation of parents? Us as millennials, I think sometimes we were quick to give privileges, but we don't steward the responsibilities that come with those privileges for our kids. We've been quick to give access to phones, content, friends, choices, but then we don't help our kids understand the responsibilities that come with all of those privileges and that access that they've been given. And then moments come when they have those access and they have those privileges and something comes up and we take their side without knowing the full content and the full situation that's happening. And we're quick sometimes to blame school teachers and friends and other people when it is our kids' job to understand there's consequences and there's responsibilities to their actions. We have to steward a responsibility and a privilege at the same time. That's how we help them grow strong. They need a deep faith and root system built in their life. And if they don't have that deep root system built in their life, they don't have their foundation on Jesus, then they don't qualify for God's grace and God's wisdom in their life later on. Because eventually they're going to grow up and they're going to leave the house, and we need to make sure they're deeply rooted in God. Deeply rooted in God. Our kids need roots, but they also need wings. Our kids need wings. They need to be able to be grounded, but they also have to have the freedom to fly and be their own person. And we help them develop their wings by affirming them. By affirming them, our kids grow wings through praise and autonomy. Praise and autonomy. See, praise affirms our kids and highlights the good things that we see in them, the good things that we want to pull out in their personality. You know, have you ever noticed, especially here in South Texas, that trees, they don't grow straight up. They actually grow and they bend towards the sunlight. Wherever the sun is, that's where the tree will grow. And so they don't necessarily grow up. Sometimes they lean a little bit. And those branches that have more access to the sun, like, grow stronger. You know, we all want to be valued. We all want to be affirmed. And we're going to seek it wherever we can. And it's the same for our kids. So parents, can I invite you? Be the sunlight in your kids' life. Be the sunlight in their life. Praise them. Encourage them. Speak God's purpose over them. Be the loudest voice of encouragement in their life in every season, in every moment. You know, sometimes I've heard people tell me, there's a lot of rules in the Bible. I'm like, okay, yeah. And they'll say, there's a lot of thou shalt nots. Well, yes, there are 10 commandments where God says, thou shalt not this, thou shalt not this. Those are the guardrails of life that he's providing for us to help us in our life. But you know what? There might be 10 commandments, but there's hundreds of blessed are. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. God is always speaking blessing over our life and encouraging us and beckoning us in to the preferred future that he has for us. He's always praising and encouraging us. And so that's what we need to do with our kids. Do you know that God actually models praise in the Bible from a parent to a child for us? In Luke chapter 3, when Jesus is going to be baptized, God comes and he says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And in that moment, he models for us what a parent should be doing to praise their children. He models it for us. Psychologists say that kids should have a 4-to-1 ratio. 4-to-1 ratio. They need 4 positive statements in their life for every 1 negative, critical, or corrective statement that they receive. They need 4 positive statements encouraging them for every 1 negative. And they say that you actually will get more traction and results by affirming the behaviors that you want to see in your kids than correcting the behaviors that you don't want to see. And we kind of get that and we kind of understand that, right? When our kids are really little, when they're in preschool and they're in those toddler age, we're always praising everything we want to see in them. Good job. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, thank you for picking up your toys. We get all of that and we praise them when they're little. But can I encourage you, parents, that as they grow, begin to praise their decisions, their thought process, and their character. As your kids get older, praise their decisions, their thought process, and their character. Call out in them the things that you want to see developed in their life. It kind of sounds like this. I'm so proud of you, Wynn. I'm so proud of you, Wynn. You give it all when you're working on your homework or when you're working on a project. Or you know what? You're great at. You're great at bringing fun into the family. You're great at doing this. You're great at doing that. Or you know what? I see this in you. I see that you see people. I see that you encourage others. I see that you include others. Begin to speak those things over their life. And so this week, I want to challenge you to make it a family activity around the dinner table. So this week, at some point, actually have dinner together. It's okay. Bring Chick-fil-A home. It's fine. It's Jesus' chicken. Sit around the table. But then go around the table and begin to talk about and give everybody 3 things that you appreciate about them or that you see in them. And what this does, make it a family activity. The kids will love it. But what it does is it helps them see themselves through your eyes. You as a parent, the things that you want to cultivate and call out of them. Because you see, your words have the power of life and death. So speak life. Speak life over your kids. Speak life over them in every situation. Plant seeds of purpose and encouragement. Pray God's will and purpose over them in every season. Pray for them when they go to school and pray for them every evening. Pray and talk to them about what you see in them and what God has called them to and the purpose that God has for them. Be the sunlight and be the loudest voice of encouragement in every season. You know, but our kids, not only do they need praise, but we also have to encourage autonomy. We need to encourage autonomy. Our kids need to discover their own autonomy and purpose. Because at some point, praise the Lord in heaven, they're going to leave our home. You just count it down every year. We're 1 year closer. We're 1 year closer. At some point, they're going to leave the home. And we want them to soar and step into all that God has purposed for them. So they need to understand and begin to discover their autonomy. And so it's important for us to create moments in their life where they get to choose for themselves and they get to speak into those things in their life. Encourage autonomy by validating and recognizing God's purpose and identity in them. Let them see God's purpose and identity in them. Help them discover their gifts and their passions. That's going to change over time. They're going to try out for different things, especially when they're younger, and they're going to change their mind, all the hobbies and the interests that they're interested in. They're going to want to go to band, and then it's going to be choir, and then it's going to be soccer, and it's going to be this, and it's going to be that. That's okay. Let them try to figure out who they are. They're going to discover things they excel at and things that just don't fit them. But in every stage, help them have some autonomy. You know, when they first are growing up, we have these guardrails in their life, right? And as they're growing, those guardrails widen with each stage. And when they're little and they're toddlers, you have a lot of control over what's happening. Those guardrails are very narrow, and you kind of control everything. But here's what I want to encourage you. Even at that age, give them some things that they can make some decisions on. Maybe it's just what they get to wear that day or the snack they get to choose, but let them have the final decision. It might be choices you've already chosen, but they get to make the final decision. And in those elementary years, let them begin to speak into their hobbies and their interests and what they want to be a part of. You're allowing them to speak into who they are and as they're discovering who they are. But parents, can I encourage you? When your kids step into those teenage years, I want to encourage you to make sure and give them the autonomy to think and ask questions. Think and ask questions. They need to be able to discover and process who they are, what they think, their value system, and you want them to do it with you. In the Mustard household, when our kids were really young, this is what we started to tell them, is no question is ever bad, and you will never get in trouble for asking a question in this house. Because we wanted our kids to feel safe to come to us with all of their questions. They're thinking them. We want them to ask them to us. I don't want them processing those with their friends and the people at school. We want to help them build their values and the morals and the standards in their life. So let them have that opportunity to process that with you. But see, autonomy is not permissiveness. Autonomy is not permissiveness. Continue to allow them to have those moments where they have a decision, but you still have those guardrails. And I think you need to have some what we call non-negotiables in the household, things that are non-negotiable. In the Mustard household, there are some things that we've said, as long as you live here, this is how we operate, and this is who we are, and this is what we do. Now, when you grow up and you move out of the house, and if you want to make dumb decisions, go ahead. But while you live in this household, this is what we're going to do. And so there were some non-negotiables we kind of set up right at the very beginning. And they were that we go to church and we serve God. Those are some of our non-negotiables for us. We go to church and we serve God. And so we told them really early on, there is no activity, there's no friend, there's no extracurricular thing you're doing when there's church. Because church comes first and God comes first. And so they learned very early on that was a non-negotiable. Now they can ask us questions, we help them process things, but always create those non-negotiables where you say, this is how we operate and this is who we are. Because we want to be the place where they feel safe and they can come and they can process. It's how you help them build their wings. Because here it is, home is where kids build roots and grow wings. Home is where kids build roots and grow wings. It's our job to make sure that they have that strong foundation that they can stand on. That no matter what comes, they have a strong root system that they have built, that they are ready to step out into the world and to soar. That's our job. And then God shows up and he provides the grace and the wisdom. And some of you today might be thinking, okay, that sounds great, Pastor, but in all honesty, man, we messed up a stage. We messed up a life stage. We didn't do that right. Or man, you just don't know what's going on in our house. The tension we have with our teenager right now. And there's just so much division. There's so much anger. There's so much hurt. And I just don't think we can do it. Well, I want to encourage you today. Just start today. Start today. You can start fresh today. Because here it is, every parent, Every parent has something they wish they could take back, redo, and do differently, because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But we can start today. And it's just what you do is you step up and you say, you know what? I'm sorry. I handled that wrong. I want to do different. I lost my temper. I got frustrated. Forgive me. And what that teaches your kids is first self-awareness. They learn that we need to be self-aware, and then when we make mistakes, we need to own up to them and we need to fix it. It also teaches our kids to fail forward, because none of us are perfect and we're gonna make mistakes, but you can fail forward and you can repair a relationship. And an apology will build a relational bridge back to each other. So I invite you, parents, step up. Say, you know what, we might not have done it right then, but we're gonna start today. And so I invite you, step up and say, today is the day that we're going to make a difference. Today is the day we're going to say we're going to build a strong spiritual foundation upon which our kids can stand, that we want to make them strong. We want to make them strong, that they will not be swayed by the culture or what's happening in the world. And so today as we close, I want to invite you to stand. All week I've been praying for our parents. I've been praying for your families. And I truly believe that God wants to work a miracle in your family. You might feel like you're not there. You might feel like you don't measure up, that you don't have enough, that you aren't enough. Maybe you're not equipped enough. God can equip you. And what it starts with is when we say, as for me and my house, today we're gonna serve the Lord. As for me and my house, today we're gonna make faith a priority. As for me and my house, today we're gonna decide we're gonna make church a priority. As for me and my house, prayer's coming back into my family. When we make those decisions, that's how we build that strong foundation where our kids are rooted in faith and they're rooted in God. And when we do our part, God shows up, he fills in the gap. And that's when his grace and his wisdom shows up in their life. But it starts with us making that commitment today to say, God, as for me and my house, today we're gonna do it different. Today we commit to be all that you've called us to be. Today I'm gonna ensure my kids are raised strong. And so as we close, I wanna pray over all of our parents. I wanna pray over your families. And as I do, I invite you that you would make that personal commitment. Maybe you're with your spouse. Maybe you're here by yourself as a single parent. God can fill in the gap for you. Or maybe you're raising kids and you're a grandparent. God can be there and he can strengthen you in this moment. When we make the commitment, God steps in. But we have to take the first step. And we're going to commit and say, today is the day I'm going to put you first, God. And I ensure that my kids are going to be raised strong. So God, we come before you, Lord. And first of all, Lord, we're thankful that you entrusted their kids to us, that you gave us this gift and you have placed them in our hands, Lord, and you've given us the responsibility to raise them strong. And so God, we ask that you would give us the strength and the wisdom and the discernment, God, and your plan for how you want to raise them. Lord, because you have a plan and a design for them. And so right now, God, we commit, as for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. That today, God, we commit to raise them in a strong spiritual foundation. Lord, that they will have roots so that they have wings to fly. And so God, right now, I pray a blessing over every family. God, as they commit right now, that you would give them all of the wisdom that they need. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our families. Thank you for how you want to work in them. And we trust, God, as we make this commitment, you're going to show up with your wisdom and your grace. And you have a plan and a purpose for every single kid. We give this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Thank you for being with us. We hope you have a wonderful week. We are dismissed.